As I shared with you a moment ago, a little over a week ago, the Lord put it in my heart that we should approach the Lord for 10 days of prayer and fasting. And so today is the eighth day of that covenant conversation with God. I'm walking the fasted life. It is the fruitful life. So today, I'm 8 times blessed in the Lord. Change that for me. I sent some more notes sometime or another. I'm 8 times blessed in the Lord. Today is the eighth day of my covenant conversation with God. I'm walking the fasted life. It is the fruitful life. So today is the eighth day, or the eighth, I'm 8 times blessed in the Lord. Christmas is immediately in our rearview mirror. And there are some of the most wonderful apocryphal stories. They're not scripture, it's not the Bible, but there's some stories that we read and they're a part of our traditions. And they actually can speak some profound truths to us. One of those, I think about Scrooge. And in one night, 3 spirits come to him. I begin to speak to his innermost being about who he truly is. Beyond the wealth, beyond the stinginess, beyond the loneliness, and the loss of his partner. And those 3 spirits are bringing insights of his past, his present, and his future. And the more he sees, the darker it gets. Yet Scrooge asked this profound question. He says, "Why are you showing me all of this if it can't change? Why are you showing me pieces of tomorrow if tomorrow can't be altered? Why are you giving me this word if I'm lost in this word and I'm trapped by this word? Surely the reason you're showing it to me is because I can do something to change it." Your Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is sitting at the gate of his tent. And 3 angelic beings come towards him. He immediately rushes to prepare a covenant meal for a covenant conversation. Something is about to happen. Towards the end of it, they look at him and say, 12 months from now, we're returning. And when we return, you're going to have a little baby here. But beyond that conversation, one of the angelic beings gets up and starts looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, a place of debauchery. Lost themselves in depravity, abandoned the word and will of God. And the angelic being said, "I've come with a word. Do you want me to speak the word? Do you want to know what God's about to do, or should I hide it from you?" And Abraham wanted to know because he has family in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his nephew, has moved there with his family. So Abraham wonders what's about to happen there. "Please tell me, what is the word of God for that city?" And the angel said, "This is the word of God. Judgment has come to that sickening, heinous city of debauchery. And God is about to pour out fire and obliterate it from the earth. That is the word of the Lord." But Abraham is kind of thinking a little bit like Scrooge. "Why are you showing me this? Why are you speaking this prophetic word to me about the impending doom, unless somehow or another I have the capacity to engage that word and alter the judgment you've spoken?" And so Abraham says, "I know I'm treading on thin ice here. I know I'm not qualified or worthy to begin negotiating with you. But what if there's 50 righteous people? I know the prophetic word. You're going to obliterate it. But if there's 50 righteous people living in that space, can the word be changed? What if there's 40, 30, 20? If only 10 righteous people are found in the city, can the word of God change, be altered? The angel said, if you can find 10 righteous people in that city, the word of God that I am about to obliterate will change. Well, there weren't 10 righteous people. And the judgment of God did fall, and the fire of heaven was dispensed, and that place became an inferno. But the point is, there was a word from the Lord, but it could have been changed by how the righteous engaged the word. Jonah. God brings a word to Jonah and says, Jonah, you are to prophesy to a city, Nineveh. At that time, there were decades where it was the largest city in the world, in what we now know as Iraq and Mosul. And you are to deliver this word, speak this word from heaven's throne. What's the word? The word is, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy the city. Everything will be obliterated. Nothing left. The anger of God is incensed. Your sin has caught my attention. The word of the Lord is judgment is impending. The prophet went and spoke that word. It got all the way to the king. It gripped the people to their very core. Every part of them realized that the word of God has been spoken, and there's nothing surer than the utterance of heaven. But if we'll fall on our face and we will contend for our soul, and if we'll push back from the table for the sake of the altar, and the king said, don't even let the birds eat. The whole city began to fast and pray unto the Lord. Your Bible said that a prophetic word from heaven, from the throne, did not happen because of how somebody engaged that word. When God gives a word, the redeemed of the Lord must hear it differently. I know this is troubling. I understand our belief in the sovereignty of God. We know that He alone sits upon the throne, that He's omniscient, that He knows all the way in eternity past, eternity in the future. Nothing surprises Him. So how do you reconcile the sovereignty of God that He would change? I cannot. Let me say to you, I'm called of the Lord to say a thing, but I cannot explain it. And I have an oil. I have an anointing. When God puts a word in my mouth, I stand flat-footed and say, thus saith the Lord. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, because that's my oil. But then when someone says, well, this happened, and I don't understand, and I don't see where, I don't have the oil to explain that. And if I get over there in that lane where I'm not called, I have no covering, there is no protection. I'm convinced some prophets have lost their lives because they gave a word that others couldn't explain, and it seemed inconsistent with the situations, and they tried to step over here and say, let me tell you what I think God, and whoom. There are times when something traumatic hits a community, a city, a region, a nation, a people. Three things have happened in that time. Hell attacks, as hell will do. And there's a stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked people like stood at Pilate's praetorium when Jesus is being accused. And Pilate doesn't want to crucify Jesus, but the people said, let his blood be on us and our children. My, the generational curse that was spoken. The enemy attacks. People call for a thing that should be dreaded, but they demand it. And third, the remnant of the Lord stay quiet and do nothing. And so they reach a place, a pivot place of change and activation. We're living in a time where the audacity of hell has never been so manifest. Where there's a part of you that knows the evil you demand. There's a part of you that knows the hell you insist upon. And yet you say, not only bring the judgment to me, but even on my generations. Consequently, some of the greatest miracles you'll ever read in your Bible didn't take place in the Holy Land. They took place in the holy people of Israel, but God gave a word. This is my word. I've called Abraham and Sarah. I've promised them. I spoke it to Moses. I spoke it to Joshua. I have impregnated my people into the land to bring forth something. My word is, you're going to drink water from wells. You did not dig. My word is, you're going to pick fruit from trees you never planted. My word is, the enemy shall come against you, but they will not be prosperous. My word is, I will sustain you and prosper you and bless you and keep. That's my word. And yet time and again, we watch them being carried off in chains. How did that happen? Because they didn't know how to engage a word. They reduced it. You can't reject something or somebody till you reduce them. They reduced them. That's not such a word. That's coincidence. That was going to happen anyway. Who says it's God? Who knows if it's the Lord or not? And we reduce a thing so we can reject it in our rebellion. And when we've done this, we have sidelined the word of God that was inevitable when activated by faith. But when I abandon the faith, the inevitability of that word abandoned me. When I abandoned the inevitability of his word, the inevitability of his word abandons me. We're at a significant transitional pivotal time in our country, in our lives, where you work, where you study, where you go to church. Increasingly, you'd better know who you are to God. I'm talking to remnant, I'm assuming. Maybe there's someone listening now. You've never asked God into your life. You've never believed Jesus. I want you to imagine he's standing right here beside of me now. I believe some of you could even see him. And if you want God in your life now through Jesus, all you have to do is say, I want you. I declare you are the Lord. I declare it. I confess you. I say what your Bible says. I agree with what your Bible says. And I want you to live in my life, put forever inside of me. Take death out, put forever in. Take death out of me, put forever inside of me. Put this eternal loneliness back in hell and surround me in your eternal presence that will never leave me or forsake me. But I'm talking primarily to people probably who believe in God and declare Jesus. Increasingly, you'd better know who you are in God, what your inheritance is by the word, by your redemption. What's your point of reference? The news from prophets of Baal, lying spirits, latest rants, social networking. What's your point of reference? Where do you belong in his church? Who? Who is your pastor? Well, I don't have one, but I believe God speaks to me. You're out of order. You can do a lot of things by not going to church. You can do a lot of things by not attending church. One thing you can't do is be obedient. God never intended one of us to do what he called all of us to do. Where's your place? Who's the shepherd of your soul? If you don't know, find out. Your soul's depending upon it. What would it take to talk you out of it? You better know, because whatever that is coming. And you'd better be on the front end of the drama, acting proactively instead of reactionary. All of these things are targeted, increasingly, trying to talk you out of your fullest assurance. Late one night this week, I was talking to one of our pastors, and I was thinking about this word. You know the passage where it says, his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does a work in my life. It does a work in your life. And it's able to divide or differentiate or know the difference of the invisibilities within us. You can't see them. But there's my soul. My soul is my mind. My soul is my emotion. My soul is all of this stuff that gets stirred all up. I hear the news. I get irritated and frustrated. That's my soul. My spirit, man, if you don't know this, it's very difficult to see the difference. First of all, you can't see them at all, but then to even discern them, because they're both invisible, they both speak to something intangible. But the spirit man is where faith is activated. The spirit man is where your spiritual gifts are released. The spirit man is where a prophetic word flows. The spirit man is where his anointing flows in your life. And the Bible, the word of God, can go right down the middle and know the difference. And the Lord spoke to me one night this week as I was talking to a pastor. I said, you know where the Lord says his word is sharper than any two-edged sword and it can differentiate between the soul and the spirit of a body? Well, he's doing that in his own body now. They hit me hard. Jesus was saying, the sword of the word is now making this painful, traumatic differentiation within his own body, the church. Those who seem to be moving in the spirit, man, they can quote scripture. They know the latest praise and worship song. They know what to place on social media platforms so it looks like they're connected with what God is doing. And everybody's convinced of it, heaven. And God's differentiating that from that spirit of people who will stay on their face till they see the face of God. They'll cry, holy is the Lord, till his holiness is all over them. They'll declare, you are great, until that greatness saturates every part of their being. And there's that traumatic event taking place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. It's a prophetic word. I'm not called to build a great church. I'm called to preach a great word. And if people, or wherever you attend, are not gathered and focused for the sake of that word, not just the scriptures that you read, but what is God speaking specifically to that people, that congregation at First Baptist or First Presbyterian or First Assembly? What's God's word for that people? And if you're not called to that word, you'll be confused and you'll probably seed confusion in the midst of the people. It won't work. And so the Lord is removing throughout his church faces and voices who don't relate to that word. May love God more than you, more than me. but their spirit man has not been assigned to that specific. In other words, one church might have a healing ministry. One church, other church might have a deliverance ministry. One might talk about the end times practically every time they're together. Another starts moving in this anointing or that gifting. And if your own spirit man is moving in a different, then you need to find out that people or you're gonna cause confusion. It won't work. But God's also waking up folks in the middle of the night. We had a precious lady. She wrote to me last Saturday. She was already en route. Coming from Canada, she was in West Virginia, and she said, I'll be there this morning, Sunday morning. Everything she owns, she had it in a U-Haul. From Canada to be here. This week, she became more planted in the community, found her a place to get rid of the U-Haul. And she's in this house because of a word, because of a sound. You're going to see, you may be one of them, more and more persons, literally. And this is the hand of God. It's God talking to an Abraham. I want you to leave your father and your mother. I want you to leave that space, leave that, and follow me, and I'm leading you to a city whose builder and maker is God. There's a word that makes a direct connection to the word I've put in your, and you're not going to know the will of God. You're not going to walk fully, consistently in what I've assigned to your life until you're receiving that word. So folk are going to wake up, and they're going to walk away from a place they've lived 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, and they love where they've been, and the families are there. They have not had a falling out. There's not a crisis against them. It's just I've got to know that specific word, and I'll leave whatever I must leave to join whatever I must join, wherever it is, to receive that word God has for me. And it's a painful thing for us to hear. But our only value is determined by our ability and willingness to agree with that word spoken. I need to tell you this. The conversation of confrontation is changing. For a long time, you and I in this world, walking by faith with the scriptures as our point of reference, knowing fully what God says is this and that and right and wrong, dwelling in this, as long as you would stay kind or quiet, you could still keep your job, buy your house, live a functioning life, not be overwhelmed. Folk wouldn't come. You were quiet. You kept it to yourself. The nature, the conversation of confrontation is changing. You're not going to be able to hide your holiness anymore. You're not going to be able to crouch your confession in the corner of irrelevance. God's going to put you out in the middle of the thing and say, now tell them what I told you to tell them. Say what I told you to say. Be what I've called you to be. Go where I've led you to go. You don't get to hide the intimacies of heaven in your heart anymore. And even this world itself won't allow it. You're going to have to publicly step in the square and say to everybody, I agree with the lies of this culture. I embrace the absurdities of our time. I will bow to Baal. I'll do anything I have to do. I'll go along to get along, and you'll bow. And you can't just tolerate. You can't merely accept. They are going to require that you demand. They won't allow you to say, well, that's not me, but I'll allow you because I'm going to be hearing you. And that's cool. No. You'll lose your job. They'll check your bank account. You think I'm kidding you. They'll check your bank account. You're going to lose so many of the perks of the life you've built for yourself if you don't stand on the front lines of a lying thing and demand and dare heaven to do something about it. All of us familiar with Paul's clarification that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So why did he say that? It's because in spiritual warfare, flesh is usually the first and for some people the final opposition they face in the encounter. God says, I've given you the whole armor of God to go out and pull down strongholds, to contend with the people of God against territorial spirits, darknesses, contentions, rulings, rebellions, debauchery. I've given you the authority, all that sounds yonder. But a lot of folk never get past him, her, them, it, It's their first level of spiritual warfare, and it's the final. So they never step into the next realm. They never see or discern the nature of the truest conflict. Therefore, they never activate the spiritual weapons God's put inside of them. Thus, they never invade those spaces and never occupy the territories that God has assigned. You're going to have to fight to get your word. I said to you many months ago, social media was going to change, and it has. We had it. It was a blessing to us throughout 2020. They played little games every now and then, but for the most part. But before the next crisis comes, they are already removing tier after tier of ministries, canceling everything but hell. And you're going to have to, if you want a word, some of us are not going to be able to live our Christian life the way our parents and grandparents did. There was a different culture, a different America. You don't have the reinforcements. You don't have the community standards that found their ways to reinforce. They wouldn't have ball games on a Wednesday night because a lot of people were in church. They wouldn't do this, never imagined soccer on a Sunday. But the reason they do it now is they know church folk will go. We've taught them just how little we're committed and how little it really requires for us to abandon and forsake what we said we believe. And if the truth be told, there's a lot of people hanging around the church still, not pursuing the presence and the power of God, but demanding that time yesterday when I can be halfway committed to heaven and still do what I want to do. I can't wait, they say, till things get back to normal and we can go to church not every night, not every Sunday, but once or twice a month and still be able to go to Johnny's soccer and still be able to go to the beach when we want and still just sleep in every now and then after. And you know how stressed I am. We're wanting to go back, not so we can make things right, but so we can retreat to who we were. And God will not allow it. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to demand the word of God for your life. You're going to have to pursue it. I want to say this, and then I'm basically finished. This is an important part for where we are now. I tiptoe around this quite a bit here, but I want to put it very directly to you now. In the coming, there's going to be persons placed in positions. I'm talking about at work, where you work. They're going to get promoted to the point of incompetence. They're going to get a job, not because their skill base allows it, not because they're tooled, not because they paid a price, not because they've studied and have the credentials, but because they've gone along with the group think. They've lost themselves in the corruption and they're being paid for it. So I'm telling you now, if you don't get ready, you're going to miss this. I'm talking to the Daniels and the Daniels. I'm talking to the Josephs and the Josephines. I'm talking to the Esthers, talking to the Jeremiahs. There's folk in your life, where you work, who all of a sudden, they're going to be escalated. They're going to be climbing up a ladder, seemingly, of success because they're connected to a network of relationships, and they'll be the first to discover that they're completely inept, completely unqualified to do the job. They don't have a clue what's going on. Thoroughly incapable. They don't have the skill base, the education. It's a setup for disaster. You're going to see throughout this country a lot of transitions and shifts and crises in your corporation. Wherever it is you work, whatever that entity is, there's going to be a lot of drama because this folk going to get a promotion that they don't deserve. It's just they know how to say what's required to say now, and that'll work. That's all it requires. But when they get there and the pieces start falling apart, and those above them are getting embarrassed, and those above them are getting anxious and demanding, this person's going to look around for somebody from the outside. They don't want somebody in their circle. They know that circle, and they know they can't trust them. They know full well that the people around them will stab them in the back, that they are equally incompetent, that they're full of the devil. I don't need another devil on this shift. I need an angel that can come in here and bring some light. Somebody from the outside. Go with me here. I'm talking about somebody that's in Babylon, Persia. It's not the Holy Land. It's not the holy landscape. But God is going to bring somebody who wants to be back where it used to be, back in the glory, back in Jerusalem, back in the temple. But the Lord is going to let you be in a hostile territory to manifest his power. They're going to be looking for somebody from the outside who can step in to their inside of whatever that corporation business school is and make it work because they don't know how. Somebody's got a gifting of pulling people together, of projecting hope. Can you make people believe again? Everything I've done screwed up, fell apart. I've created crises. People are leaving. There's dissension. Can you come in this place and put the pieces together, help folk get along, provide a sense of trajectory and direction and get us there? You ain't us, you're them. I know that. I know where you go to church, but I ain't gonna talk about it. I know what you believe, but I won't bring it up. I know you're gonna want Sundays off so you can gather with you. Okay, whatever it takes to keep me in my throne, I'll do it. But this is extremely important. You got to know when they bring you in day one, you are not one of them. You're not Persian from Iran. You're not an Iraqi. You're not Babylonian. You're not Assyrian. You are from Jerusalem. You're not part of their network, their belief system, the way they live their lives, their values, their priorities, or the lack thereof. You don't live like them. They can't wait to Friday so they can go crazy for 2 days. That is not you. It's not your tribe. As long as you can remember that, as long as you can know that, God will use you in that hellhole. And they'll pay your bills. And they'll pay you more than the failures around you. But you just keep that quiet. Reality, you ain't never gonna be one of them. But if you lose yourself trying to look like them, sound like them, be like them, oh, let's just go to lunch. Oh, let's just have dinner. Oh, I know we're different, but you're gonna lose. Here's the problem. You're never gonna be them. You can't. It won't happen. It's impossible. It isn't that you failed, it's that God won't allow it. A Jew is never going to be a Persian. A Jew is never going to be from, if you're a believer, you're never going to be them. So you're never going to have that identity, but if you're not careful, you can lose your identity trying to be them. So then you're stuck out there in the middle and you don't belong. You know why some folk, they get in church in about 3 or 4 months after they get a promotion. God puts you in a situation. You started making more money. You started getting more work and more time off, and vacation was expanded. You got a health package that's the envy of everybody. And 3 months later, you've lost your joy. You quit. Why is it? Because you forgot who you were in there. You forgot God is your source. You forgot the nature of your assignment is not to hook up with them. Your nature is to take Israel in that specific space, bring the word of the Lord in that specific space, let them be who they are, but you require to be who you are. And you got in there and you tried to be one of them, talk like them, think like them, own what they buy, go where they go. You didn't want, my God, stop being so spiritually insecure and know who you are in God. All of heaven is in your heart. The throne of God rules and reigns. You're not going to hell. Stop acting like those who are. So when you lose it trying to be them, you never can be them. And yet you don't fit in over here because you done abandoned that. So all of a sudden you walk in here and you feel crazy and you don't feel connected. And I don't feel like I belong. And you probably don't anymore, but that ain't on us. That's on you. I'm not being fed because you ain't eating. It's going to be a hard time, so I'm bringing a hard word. Because you're going to succeed. God's going to use you. You're going to live a blessed life. You're going to be a part of this house? I will call down every angel in heaven to walk you to your car, help drive the steering wheel for you, carry your groceries. I'm telling you, I will pray the angelic host of heaven all over you. I forbid you to fail. I forbid you to throw in the towel. You will not quit. You will not try to be like a bunch of people going to hell. You're going to have the fullest knowledge of who God is in your life. You're going to walk the steps that he's ordered. You're going to have every good and perfect gift in your life, and you shall know it and dwell in it with the joy of the Lord. It'll be your strength. As long as you can know that, it's part of your calling. God will use them to pay your bills, to bless your life. The president, the CEO, the manager, the supervisor, they're going to learn real quick that you're making them look good, and that's job security. Job security is making your boss look good to his boss, her boss. You keep the machinery moving. You're bringing all the pieces together. Goals are reached. Tasks are accomplished. Public needs are met. Hear me. And this is important because I'm talking about something different now. There's a time where the righteous start their own businesses, and that's got to increase. You've got to create some social networking. You got all these kind of things have got to take place, but I'm talking about a different group. I'm talking about a Daniel and a Danielle, that you're going to be going into hostile territory every morning. So spiritual warfare begins before you get there. Preparation begins before you even wake up. You prayed in tongues before you went to bed, so when you woke up in the morning, you're already ready for thus saith the Lord. So I'm talking to that people. The leader might be corrupt where you work, full of the devil, lying piece of snake. That system itself might be corrupt. Drinking the Kool-Aid, got a running IV of crazy. But the assignment of that entity might be a good thing, teaching children. I'm telling you, you can have a principal. If the devil died today, they could take over. Full of the devil. Wanting to advance every kind of obscene, heinous, sick. I said the system may be sick. And the teacher or the principal might be sick. But there's some children down there that need somebody to teach them how to read and write. Teaching the children, feeding families, executing justice, providing health care, good objectives, assignments. That is kingdom stuff. That's been picked up and put over there on the agenda of the enemy. But God's going to put you over there to redeem it. And as long as you can know who you are and who it is that placed you in that position, as long as you can know God is your source and that every good and perfect gift comes from him, he'll use you there. And you'll begin to advance in that thing. And Pharaoh's going to ask Joseph or Josephine to manage the feeding program, no matter who Pharaoh is. Pharaoh lost his mind, crazy. 12 shades of crazy. He got a hookup IV to crazy. She's nuttier than anything you ever met in your life. But if Josephine doesn't step in that situation, folks going to die. So you create a feeding program. Xerxes going to have Esther to discern the kingdom. Now, you ain't from this place. You're from Israel, but I've got you over here in Iran. And you're going to sit beside of me and you're going to tell me what I need to do to make my kingdom, my corporation, my entity. You're going to tell me how to make the pieces come together, Esther. Nebuchadnezzar's going to have dreams. Why? Because God's going to give that devil a dream. I said, God is going to put your presence, Danielle, in Nebuchadnezzar's life is going to open Nebuchadnezzar up to see some things of heaven that he would have never seen. And then he's going to try to get hell to interpret for him. How many of you know that ain't going to work? Nebuchadnezzar full of the devil. But you just stepped in his world. And so it opens him up that God can now put a portal place there and put a dream inside of him. How is it Pharaoh got a dream? He don't hear from God. He's called down there in his prison as a Joseph. He didn't even know about it. Joseph being in that prison created a portal place for Pharaoh. So some of your bosses don't know God from the backside of a barn. And all you do is walk around carrying coffee a little while. Don't be intimidated. You're on assignment. Don't let them minimize who you are. God now is going to say something to them, through them, and they're going to call for Daniel. Because they're going to soon find out, hell, they're going to bring all the magicians in, all the people with the cards, all the one with the dice, all with the incantation. They're going to find out hell cannot interpret heaven's dreams. So Daniel, you tell me. Because this is a side thing. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. He brought all his little people in there. He said, "Now I'm not going to tell you my dream for you to interpret. You tell me what my dream is. And if you can't even tell me what my dream is, much less a dream, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you dead. I don't want you to interpret it yet. I want you to tell. Only I know what I dreamed. Now you tell me what I dreamed. Now that's tough. There's some people. Ain't never said the word God, but God's going to put something inside them. They're going to call you into the office. You're going to close the door, and they're going to say, look, I don't believe in you, God. I do this. I do that. And they're going to go through the whole thing of the. But I had a dream. Something happened to me. I saw something I can't understand, and I know these people can't. They have lid all the time. They can't tell me nothing. But I know you go to church, and I don't want to talk about your church, and I don't want you to preach to me. I just want to know, can you tell me what's going on? You're going to say, yeah. Let me tell you what's happening. The Spirit of the Lord is touching your life. You can't see the Spirit, but the Spirit of the Lord is touching your life. And there's a whole other realm of understanding and knowledge. And what's happening is, my God is picking some of that up that's usually just on us over here, but he's picking up something from Jerusalem and putting it in your Babylonian head. And I'm here to tell you what it is. You can do that? Mm-hmm. And this is equally important. I got to warn you. When Nebuchadnezzar and when Pharaoh and all these, the top tier calls you in, he's going to be happy. She's going to be happy. Your boss is going to be happy. And the folks down here that's getting, the children's going to be happy because getting education, and the hungry folk going to be happy because getting something to eat. But there are going to be some folks at middle management. There are going to be some folks right up close, and they're going to see you advancing, and you didn't play the game, and you don't wear the buttons, and you don't go through all that stuff you're supposed to go through to be part of the group. I see you. And they're going to be angry. They're going to resent you, despise you, and then they're going to get a little group together to try to take you out. I'm just telling you. And if you think you're going to fit in, well, we didn't get along at first, but we started having coffee together, and now you're crazy. If somebody's crazy and they start acting uncrazy and you think now they're not crazy, you're crazy. They're still going to be who the devil told them to be. You have an assignment not to go there and make friends. You have an assignment to carry the kingdom of God in that place, and that's it. And they're going to resent you because they don't have any oil, and sweat is no competition for oil. I get here and I work here. Perfume. Well, I said everything he wanted me to. Perfume is no competition for oil. They're going to be jealous. They're going to try to take you out. But you're going to know that God is your source. Your citizenship is the kingdom. The word of God is your point of reference. Your loyalty is to his people, and you're not one of them. So God's going to tell you how to put a food system together, Joseph. Josephine, with a bunch of folk that you know's full of the devil. But at the end of the story, people live. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's going to have his dreams, and all them lying spirits ain't going to know what to do with it. But you're going to bring thus saith the Lord in the midst of a lying thing and change stuff. Esther, God's going to put uncommon favor on you, and you're going to have access to a throne with personal influence. You're going to be able to say something that changes the situation. They're going to be folk at City Hall who can't stand God, church, Bible, nothing. They're ready to pounce. But all of a sudden, they can't get no sleep. because they keep hearing words in their head and start seeing stuff, and they think they're losing their mind. And they can't ask any of the crazies around them, but they're going to come to you. And they're getting ready to fire you because you didn't go along with the groupthink. But they're going to bring you in. And if you can bring some sanity to the midst of their insanity, if you can make that machine work, all of a sudden, something they were getting ready to do against the people of God is going to get canceled, lost, shelved, because you, Esther, Daniel, Joseph, were willing to step in a hostile space in a crazy time and bring a thus saith the Lord. And don't try to explain how it's going to happen. Just speak it and let him make it happen. Father, I thank you for precious people listening now in a shaky, uncertain time. But they are a set people in a set word. And I decree they are the blessed of the Lord. They're going to move from a revelation, not simply an information. And we're not going to let the university systems, not only are we not going to let them undermine what you have said, we're not going to let them tell us who we are. And I might graduate from high school and never go to a university. It was wonderful when we could go and have all, that was wonderful. And maybe sometime we can. Maybe we're in our 30s or 40s we can start doing something. But right now instead, God's going to process us in a different way, teach us in a different way, put a different word inside of us to where we just 19 years old, ain't got no degree and bringing in 50 grand a year because you can make your boss's troubles go away. You ain't got to believe it, just remember it. You ain't got to participate, but don't be too envious of those who get blessed. In the name of Jesus, I declare the glory of the Lord upon you and your house. Amen and amen.